All those people that will tune in and say, what did we miss?
I have the first motion.
Yeah, I think we're okay. Not very sexy, huh?
All right. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Weefald. The commission is holding a special meeting today. It's 2 o'clock p.m., February 21st, 2008. We're meeting today in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room in the state capitol, 12th floor. With me today are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. Are there any opening remarks from my fellow commissioners?
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Welcome.
The first items on the agenda are in my portfolio. There's just one motion, but it relates to three cases. The three cases are Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Company Promontory Point 3 complaint, Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Sonnet Heights complaint, and Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Promontory Point 4 complaint. And these are cases number PU06278, PU07425, and PU07682. The motion, I move the commission dismiss the caption complaints with prejudice, case number PU06278, PU07425, and PU07682.
Second.
As you are aware, about a month ago, Capital Electric Cooperative and Montana Dakota Utilities Company came in with a proposed agreement which had been approved by the City of Bismarck and which was also approved then by the Public Service Commission, by our Public Service Commission. And with the approval of that agreement, it's appropriate for the Commission to dismiss these caption complaints. We've been requested to do so by these companies, and it's timely then to dismiss these caption complaints.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And next we'll go to Commissioner Kevin Kramer.
Thank you. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in TransCanada Keystone Pipeline LP's application to construct and operate a 218-mile, 30-inch crude oil pipeline with associated facilities and pipeline interconnections in Cavalier to Sargent Counties, North Dakota, case number PU06421.
Second.
As I was saying a little bit earlier, this almost seems anticlimactic after spending all of these months coming up with this document and living with it. And I first want to express my sincere appreciation to the staff members who worked so hard on it, especially Pat Fawn, who's with us today, and Bill Binnick, who is not, but they've done a great, great job and have lived with this and have done all their other work at the same time. So appreciate both of you. I also want to express my appreciation to the interveners and the public in this case who have had a great deal put into it, a great deal of investment. And I hope that, although I'm sure there's probably nobody that's going to be 100% satisfied with the order, I think as people look at the order, they will see that they'll see a lot of their own fingerprints in it. The public input meetings, the public hearings, the role of interveners as well as the general public was important in this case. They were listened to, the concerns, they were heard, and many of them are reflected in this order. This is a 34-page order. It has 125 findings of fact, 8 conclusions of law, 34 ordering clauses. So there are lots of conditions that go along with this order, and I don't know that there's a need to elaborate a great deal on it, other than maybe just highlight a few key conditions that I think most people are quite familiar with. One important condition I think that everybody is interested in is that an emergency response plan is not only required before the pipeline goes into operation, but it is required to be approved by the Public Service Commission before it goes into operation. I think that's a key component. I think we will all, of course, recall that there were some conditions relating to requiring thicker pipe in certain areas that have a close proximity to important water sources, most specifically Lake Ashtabula, Fordville Aquifer, water sources that are both recreational and naturally important, as well as important drinking water sources. The horizontal directional drilling techniques that are required at the Pembina River and the Cheyenne River Valley crossings have had a lot of publicity, I guess, and great clarity, I think, that's important to the commission, to all three of us, and an important condition in this order. I think it's worth noting that there are other river crossings as well where we're still encouraging and hoping that there'll be able to be some horizontal directional drilling, and at least where feasible. If not, we are strongly encouraging, and the order strongly supports minimal adverse effect, of course, on trees, and anything beyond some basic conditions would require the company coming back to the commission for further tree removal. And I won't get into a lot of those details unless somebody wants to ask about that later or other commissioners want to talk about it. I do think that one of probably the most unique condition in this order, at least unique to any of the orders I've been involved with in the past, is the requirement that a construction inspector be hired by the Public Service Commission, answer to the Public Service Commission, however paid by the funds from the siting application fee that was paid by the company. Ronald Reagan said of the Soviets, trust but verify. We're going to verify in this case that these orders and the complexity of them and that the letter of the law is followed throughout the process of construction of this pipeline. We all, of course, continue to be committed to furthering America's national security and its energy security, if not independence, by support of domestic supplies of fossil fuels and other forms of alternative energy. This certainly meets that criteria, and it was an important part of the PCNN process, but I think it's always worth stating that it's important. So with that, I guess I would just turn it over to other commissioners for comment.
I would like to say a few words about this because I believe this is a very important order, but it's based upon the very good siting law that North Dakota has in place. North Dakota has a wonderful siting law that allows the commission to address many issues that are important to the public, and that's the basis for this whole decision. We've looked very carefully at numerous areas. If you take a look at findings 29 through 40, those detail that the commission how we have looked at avoidance areas. Those include Tetra Halt Woods State Forest. They include a 500-foot buffer that needs to be maintained from residences unless there's a waiver signed. It deals with irrigated land, and it deals sections 35 through 40 with cultural resources and requirements that are in place for those. Another very important area that's been contentious in this whole case, but which I feel the commission has addressed very carefully and thoughtfully, are the potential effects of the pipeline to water supplies in North Dakota. And you'll find findings in here, number 54, for example. This one deals with the Fordville Aquifer. And in this one, we say we find that neither the Fordville Aquifer nor the public wells in the Fordville Aquifer will likely be exposed to crude oil contamination or BTEX contamination by means of surface transport, stream transport, or subsurface transport, or any combination of these transport mechanisms. Number 76 has to do with public water systems apart from the Fordville Aquifer. And on that one, our finding is, number 76, the commission finds that the evidence in the record shows the proposed Keystone Pipeline route will not impact public water systems. And then we go to private water systems, and then on to Lake Ashtabula Cheyenne River area. In number 88, the commission finds that the proposed Keystone Pipeline route in the Lake Ashtabula Cheyenne River area represents minimal environmental impact and minimal impact to the landowners compared to the East Route concept. The commission finds that neither the Cheyenne River nor Lake Ashtabula will likely be exposed to crude oil contamination or BTEX contamination by means of surface transport, stream transport, or subsurface transport, or any combination of those transport mechanisms. Personally, and I believe I speak for the whole commission, is that if we had found that there could be potential contamination, this order would not be issued today. So those are very important findings. Commissioner Kramer has already mentioned our attention to the water crossings in finding 94 and in finding 98 with the Cheyenne River crossing. Those are two, again, important findings for the commission. I would also like to draw attention to the landowner protections that show up in the ordering part of this order. And number 27, number 28, number 29, and number 30 are all landowner protections that have been specifically spelled out in the ordering clauses. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done by the Keystone Pipeline before they can start operation of this pipeline. And you will notice, I'm not sure if I caught all of them, but I found in ordering clause number 2, 17, 12 and 13, 22, 31, and 32 all specify things that need to be done by the company before this pipeline can start operation. So the commission is not only putting in place what it's learned so far, but is putting in place requirements of work that still needs to be done by the company. All in all, I know that all three commissioners have worked very hard on these matters and have really taken time to study the information that's in the record, and not only in the official record, but from the public input that has come in. And I agree with Commissioner Kramer that the public input and the public hearings that we held were extremely important as far as final outcomes in this decision.
I also wish to thank our staff and my fellow commissioners who have put a lot of time in on this, and too, want to tip my hat to those landowners and the public and the interveners who participated in this process. Because of their efforts in this process, we have a far better product than we would have had they not fully participated. So I thank all of them. You know, when the commission does something like this, we really have a job to do, and that is to protect the cultural resources of our state, our environmental resources, our historic resources. And I believe that this order effectively does that. Any siting case at its heart is really a little bit of a balance. You're putting in utility infrastructure that may not always be popular to every individual landowner. But the fact is, as a society, we need pipelines, we need roads, we need high-powered transmission lines. And so we have this type of process to balance the public's interest to have that type of infrastructure put into the ground or overhead, and the individual landowner's interests, as well as ensuring that, as I said, those cultural and historic and environmental resources are protected as well. And I think that this order does strike that balance. It's always a little bit dangerous to get into individual parts of an order this big because it implies that maybe one thing is a little more important than another. And so I'm going to, to the point I can, avoid doing that for the most part. There are, however, we know all certain issues that rose to the surface that were perhaps a little bit more controversial than others. I am very pleased that the commission has taken such a strong stance in protecting that scenic viewshed of the Cheyenne River Valley. That is a treasure for the state of North Dakota. We have scenic backways and byways that are designated along that area. It's something that I think we hold in trust as a commission and as a people of this state, resources like that. And so I'm very pleased that all three of us and staff and the people who spoke have worked together to protect that particular valley. And then secondly, I think, which is really kind of a groundbreaking thing that we're doing, is that inspector that Commissioner Kramer noted discussed. I don't know that we've done that before, at least not in any cases that I'm familiar with. I can't say that it hasn't ever happened.
Yeah, that we've cited
In a long time. I can't say that it's happened, you know, back somewhere in state history, but I think it's a very innovative solution. And what that inspector is, that inspector is not going to be the site foreman. I mean, his job isn't to run the siting of the construction of this line. What that person is there to do is to be the commission's eyes and ears on the ground. It's not a person who works for the pipeline. They're actually being paid through a fund that's established and has the use, the commission's use to expend the money out of there. But that person is our eyes and our ears. As that pipeline gets constructed, we've instructed that it be frequent spot inspections. And their job is to know this order inside and out, and know that their job is to ensure that our intent, the commission's intent, is being carried out as we cross some of those cultural resources and significant areas that we've talked about. So again, thanks to everyone who put hard work into this. I think it's been a long process, but in the end, one that I think the majority of the people of North Dakota can support.
Commissioner Kramer, I believe the qualified inspector for oversight was your idea, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it occurred to me when we were discussing the issue of the reclamation as much as anything, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, you can do good reclamation for 100 miles and do bad reclamation for 100 miles, and probably just do well to have somebody there making sure it's done well. And I think a lot of the companies that in some of the siting has learned that we're a better commission in this area because of our tremendous reclamation division overseeing coal mine reclamation. So we have some probably advantages. And that's what sparked my interest in that particular mm-hmm, topic. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Today, I'm very glad we did it.
Mm-hmm. Are there further comments?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. And with that, we'll take questions. We do not. We do know that our order requires them to hold a pre-construction conference with our staff and then also to notify us before construction begins, and then they have to supply with us weekly reports.
It does.
Yes. They will soon have a copy if they don't have it right now.
They've gotten all of the notices, Dave, so they I shouldn't say we've gotten them. We've sent them all of the notices, so all the notices for meetings, including this morning's work session, they would have received.
And this particular order, as soon as it's docketed, will go out to all of the park interveners.
Do you know if they have all the property rights that they need?
I don't know that they do. I suspect there's some yet to tie down, but that's again, that's outside of our jurisdiction, obviously.
I mean, does this affect all landowners' rights in the
county? I do believe the siting law states that having a siting permit is required to enter into condemnation.
It's 98.
Finding of fact 98. And then order clause might be number one or two. It's early.
Two.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two, yeah.
Okay.
98 in the findings. And
it's about page 25. It's terrible. It's terrible when you can start
you
citing those without
to,
looking.
If there's anything else you want us to help you find, we'll be glad to do that.
Yeah. I do not. I expect that we'll be able to find an engineering firm that would have that expertise that could be hired. Quite honestly, our Public Utilities Division staff has way too many things on its plate to be an inspector. I do hope, however, Dale, and it would be my expectation that from time to time a staff member and or a commissioner will drop by the construction site just to see how things are going, but... Well, when an application is received, there is a filing fee that is paid. That filing fee is then used to cite, you know, in terms of the expenses. It's used to expenses to cover expenses for the citing process, and then whatever's left over, whatever balance there might be at the end of the process, is returned to the company. So that's where the money would come from. I believe it was $100,000 because it would be the maximum.
Yes,
we spend so darn little, Dale.
Basically, it's just notices that yes. have been spent so far. We haven't hired a consultant in this case, for example.
Yeah, notices and then travel to the...
And the important thing, that siting fee, see, is different than the evaluation fund. There's not a budget on it. It's simply a special fund that we, you know, have access to and then return any balance. So there's not a budgeted cap, if you will, other than the $100,000, I suppose.
There's obviously supposed to proceed, don't think
Well, we'd have to say, first thing I'd say is I disagree with them. I think that we've already determined quite a while ago that it was in the public interest to build this pipeline, and that was part of the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity proceeding, that there is, in fact, a public need. I think anybody that watches world events, sees what goes on in places like Venezuela or Iran, has to understand and agree that energy security is a high priority in this country. So the fact that there's this very large supply or very large pool of oil in the country to our north, I think is a great encouragement and ought to be a great encouragement. And I think it's certainly in the public interest to utilize that oil. Now, Dale, I would have to also say, I'm quite certain the company isn't 100% pleased with this order either. Our job is not to please people or companies, but rather to look out for the public interest. I believe this order does that in a very balanced way. Well, first thing we know is that it's far later than the company was hoping for. We know that the pipe thickness issue, the horizontal directional drilling underneath the Cheyenne River issues were somewhat contentious with the company.
Well, not to mention the other rivers. I mean, recall that just recently here there have been a number of what have been classified as valuable fishery rivers by the Game and Fish and Parks. Game and Fish Department that...
South Dakotan and him coming out.
Yeah, that's... it's actually, not far from the truth. About 10 years of living in Peerwell. Right. We'll do that to you. The Game and Fish Department has classified a number of rivers as valuable fisheries and requested that the company horizontally directional drill under those, and we are requiring the company to study the feasibility of that. Of course, their original plan was to clear-cut all of those as well. So, I mean, there are a number of instances like that where there are inconveniences to a pipeline company, but conveniences that are in the public's interest.
Would any of you be uncomfortable with this pipeline being 500 feet?
Within?
No,
outside.
Oh, 500.
If it was 500 feet, 500 I would be okay with this pipeline running 500 feet from my home.
What are the terms of the lease? I would be fine with it, Dale. I wouldn't have any fear of it.
I'd be okay. I mean, I will say this, though, too. I understand the concern that landowners have. And as I said, that's why you have a siting process, is because, certainly I think if you were to talk to individual landowners and say, would you prefer that there be a transmission line on your land or not, most people would say, well, maybe I'd prefer that there isn't a transmission line. Or they'd say, would you prefer that an interstate highway be built here if you owned the land before the I-94 was built? Maybe I'd prefer that it not be built there. Same goes for pipelines. Same goes for all kinds of infrastructure that we need as a society. But it's why you have a process like this, and you ensure that landowners we don't ensure that landowners are compensated. That's a job of the courts, but you make sure that government ensures that landowners are compensated when it happens, and you make sure that when it's sited, it's done in a way that minimizes the impact that would otherwise happen.
Not to trivialize the difference between a arterial street in Bismarck, Washington Street, and a pipeline, but I can just identify with people who express concerns with the commission regarding the pipeline, because I know I have a major arterial going near our home. There was a proposal to widen that arterial. We were concerned about trees that were on both sides of that street. Our neighborhood was safety crossings for adults and for young people. We were concerned about increased noise. We were concerned about many different factors with that. We worked with the city to come up with the best street project that we could get, knowing that they were going to widen that street. That experience was good for me as a commissioner, because I was the one in that case going to the public authority and expressing my concerns and feeling frustrated when I didn't know if they were hearing us or not. But they did move through a whole series of public meetings. The project is now built, and I can see that many of the ideas that the community, our immediate community, put into that project were accepted. And so it makes me more accepting of the project than that we have, the road project that's near my home. I am hoping that As this pipeline is built and as good environmental practices are used and that the folks see the careful process that the of construction that is used by the pipeline and the inspections that are done, that they will feel a measure of confidence then when they live near this pipeline and over a period of years will understand the need for it as well as its the responsibilities of the pipeline that still continue after that time.
Do you expect that this right-of-way will be used for pipelines?
I don't personally have an expectation one way or another. I mean,
I've heard that, but I've never heard any from the company itself.
We have heard from landowners that their easements allow for one or more pipelines, but of course the commission is not responsible for the easement language. And, so
I've read things in South Dakota. I think the governor of South Dakota had mentioned some things. I mean, I haven't heard any of that personally, but you know, by the same token, we see the Enbridge pipeline corridors in the northeast part of the state, and there sometimes are more than one sited in those, sometimes multiple. So it's not as if it can't happen, but those would be individual proceedings that this commission would have to determine in the future.
Each one will be sited. If there are more, it still has to go through the same process, the same siting process.
Would it not be easier to run another pipeline?
It always is.
Well, that would be why there are seven of them in the Enbridge Enbridge corridor up in northeastern North Dakota. That'd be an easy enough way to explain it. I do think it's worth noting that although this permit in this route is nearly identical to the application, it's not exactly identical. That the Burris property and the Zacharias property, where there were potential cultural resource sites located or identified, did cause the company to propose a couple of reroutes and. That's reflected in this order. No, you're correct. It was in the close proximity, but a little further east.
We do address in here people's thoughts that perhaps it could have gone along I-29, and that's also in this order. Pat, maybe you can tell us what paragraph that is.
When you refer to the East Road, you mean one that the public heard about, like the Park River, over a year ago, where they pointed out that
no.
Well, there was a. They had briefly, and this was detailed at the Park River public hearing as well. They had looked at an east route and west route around the Ford Hill Aquifer. So I don't know if this it could be referring to that. I mean, they had looked at 8 miles.
That's exactly
east,
right.
and a few miles west.
And the west route was the preferred route.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would have sent it way around the east side of the aquifer.
I mean, there have been a fair number of major pipeline projects.
Yes.
Enbridge. It's 200 miles long, and it's through what I would call a greenfield site, a site where there are there has not been a pipeline in the past.
I would add to that, Dale, that I think the timing is part of it. I think we live in a time when there's a heightened sense of environmental concern and sensitivity, and that people are just paying a lot more attention to this type of a development. You know, you look at what's going on with other development in the energy world and in our state, even in the western part of our state where, you know, we're... people tend to be pretty pro-energy development. There is a heightened sense of of sensitivity toward environmental and cultural preservation and quality of life issues. And so I think timing is a major part of it. I think Susan's exactly right as well. There's a bit of a culture clash when you consider a 218-mile liquid petroleum pipeline in eastern North Dakota as opposed to western North Dakota. This is an area that not only is it culturally probably a little bit different, but it's also geographically very different. The water issues in eastern North Dakota are very different than water issues in western North Dakota. There's just a lot more shallow aquifers, more streams, rivers, lakes, wetlands, in this particular area. So a lot of it was the location, a lot of it was the timing.
You know, I think another factor as well, you brought up the Alliance Pipeline, which would be the next most recent very large greenfield pipeline project. And that one probably mile-wise was even further, I mean, a greater distance in the state than this one.
It cuts
yeah. Well, and I think a good part of the reason that you didn't see quite the local maybe impact of that story was that was not cited by this commission. That the natural gas pipelines are cited by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and for better or for worse, they're cited by the federal government. And one of the things that does is it does move it quite a few steps removed from local landowners. I mean, it's less accessible to participate in a FERC process.
Let's go with
as
horse.
Compared to the yeah. Let's go with horse. It's just so much less accessible to participate in a federal process as opposed to a state one. I mean, we are a very open state generally when it comes to access to your government, and when it comes to siting, we're a very open state specifically when it comes to the Public Service Commission.
It's usually a brownfield site, means one that already has industrial development or a pipeline already exists. A greenfield site is a place where you do not have. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It means there isn't a pipeline there now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never been sited.
Or it could be the same. You could use the same words for siting a coal mine. Has there been one there in the past? Gascoigne would be a place where there's already been a coal mine.
You know, one thing I would say, Dale, that I've learned, and maybe as much as anything it was a verification, but maybe not. I've learned patience, that patience pays off, that it's more important to make a good decision than a fast decision. And I've also learned, maybe this is the verification in what Susan talked about earlier, that we have a process that works really well in terms of looking out for the public interest. Now, you know, there are going to be people, like I said, on both sides of this pipeline project that might dispute that, which I think serves as evidence that it works. I'm always satisfied when I referee a soccer game if both coaches are mad at me, you know, that I figure I've done an okay job.
Can this be challenged in court?
Yes, it can.
Oh, any commission order can. Sure.
You know, we've gotten no indication. At least I have not gotten any indication.
Well, we did receive a email from a member.
From a non-intervener.
From a non-intervener, yeah. Who said, see you in court.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've gotten those. Yeah, that's true. But nobody's attorney has contacted us, nor should they, or would they?
That would not happen.
Who's the gentleman or the person you're referring to? Is that the gentleman?
Mr. Stark.
It's Mr. Stark.
Anything else? That was just recently.
It was about the same time.
The three cases were dismissed. Those were all the Bismarck cases.
Yes.
And the other one in Cass County.
One I don't think was ever a complaint.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. You're right. There was never a complaint. That's right.
Well,
All right, and if that's it, we're ready to sign the order then.
Okay.
Thank you.